life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am Within to create a joyous and fulfilled life no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that you can walk in this modern world that leads to soul liberation and ascension. In this dawning age of Aquarius, we're called upon to take on the role of prophet, one who is spiritually empowered and manifests the light of the mighty I Am presence to the world. Now, here are your hosts of Prophets for the New Age, Carl and Nancy Showalter.
Welcome to Prophets for the New Age, where we invite you to be a prophet and manifest the light of your divine self to the world. We're your hosts, Nancy.
And Carl Showalter.
And you're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast here at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston, heard live every third Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also tune in to our show on Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. And be sure to visit us on Facebook, Prophets for the New Age radio show. Well, today we are asking the question, is America a divinely sponsored nation? As one nation among many nations, does America have a special role that is spiritual in nature? And what is the relationship of that role to light bearers in all nations who have awakened or who are awakening to their divine identities? And is there a spiritual connection among all those of the light that goes beyond physical proximity and national and religious boundaries?
Yes, a fascinating topic indeed. And our guest, Alberta Fredrickson, is a proud patriot who has both published information on this topic and has researched and studied this concept of America as a divinely sponsored nation.
And, you know, this is a fitting topic for our show this month because in just about 2 weeks, on July 4th, the United States celebrates the 239th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which was the founding of our nation.
Alberta has been our guest before and has been a teacher and a lecturer at our international conferences in Sweden, the Czech Republic, and in Holland. She has been a professional educator for over four decades and is currently an author and speaker. Alberta, thank you for joining us today, and welcome.
Thank you, Carl and Nancy. It is a joy to be with you once again and with your listening audience.
Alberta, you talked about God's plan for America and the mystical connection of America and I Am race at our international conferences in Prague and in Holland. I think that's an intriguing place to start today. And even more interesting is that when you rearrange the letters in the word America, you have the words I Am race. Would you share more about that with us now?
Yes, Carl. It's very intriguing to me, too. America was part of the New World, inspired and sponsored by the Ascended Masters to be a country where the light of each man, each individual soul, was important. A nation where each individual would be free enough and well cared enough for to have the time and the inclination to actually seek and awaken to that seed spark of God within them, that I Am presence, and actually self-realize that they could co-create with divinity. Remember in the Bible when Moses was on the mountain and he asked the presence that spoke from the burning bush, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the presence in the bush said, "Tell them I am who I am." I Am has come to be understood as a name for God and also as God in me. I am, God in me is. So this concept of man walking and talking and creating with the I Am presence, the God presence, would allow for the creation of a new nation that could be the first among many nations. If this experiment and greater freedom for the individual could succeed, then America could give this governmental and spiritual ideal to other nations. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights allows individual souls to be free, free enough to choose to learn about and follow a path of union with God. Without the freedoms we enjoy in America today, secured by divine right and protected by law, there can't be an individual path of soul testing or initiation leading to the soul's reunion with God. America is the place where individuals could be quickened to remember that they are a part of God and that they have an individualized portion of the I Am presence within them. So America was to be the place prepared for the regathering of all these individual souls from every race, every religion, every nation on the earth. And they're called the I Am race, which is composed of the same seven letters that when you rearrange them, spell America.
Well, you know, the Ascended Master Saint Germain describes the I Am race as those who are the descendants of Sanat Kumara, and the mission of Sanat Kumara is to rescue the light bearers. Now, we've talked about our cosmic history and the role of Sanat Kumara in earlier shows, and how, you know, the role in coming to the earth with 144,000 others to rescue the light bearers who got caught up in the materialistic world of duality. So the I Am race, as you said, America's a gathering place, and yet it's no matter what country you're living in or where you were born, it's about the mission to planet Earth to find the light bearers and those who espouse the I Am, that great light. You know, some scholars have spoken of America as the gathering place of the lost tribes, and we're the 12 tribes of Israel, which are the traditional divisions of the ancient Jewish people. And some scholars even call America the New Jerusalem.
Yes, that's right, Nancy. And America has been considered by many as that promised land in the New World, where those from many nations would be free to gather and experience the freedoms that allow us to follow a path of union to God or reunion with God. The masters say that the I Am race is an evolution of light bearers who have not lost the memory of their God consciousness nor their memory of the person of the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days, as mentioned in the Bible, is Sanat Kumara. So, Nancy, that rescue mission you referred to is a group of souls led by Sanat Kumara who came to find the rest of our group of souls who have embodied over and over again and needed to be reminded of our divine origin and that a path of union to God is really available to us. The Bible references that Jesus was actually sent to find those who were part of the lost house of Israel. So his role as Jesus the Christ was to model what it would look like and sound like and be like to walk the earth in an expanded role of his individualized portion of the I Am presence. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he taught, "I and my Father are one." And he also taught, "These things that I do, you shall do, and even greater things shall you do because I go unto the Father." So he was the teacher sent to find us and show us the how to do what he did and learn the path of the ascension back to the Father. The Ascended Masters teach us that the path of the ascension, they teach us that path, and they also teach us the way to that path is through the guru-chela relationship, meaning the master-student relationship. So Jesus Christ was the teacher, the model that our founders, the founders of America, believed in. He's not the only son or daughter of God who has ascended. However, he is the one our founders knew and believed in. And so this group, called the I Am race, is really a mandala of souls that actually are from every race, every religion, and every nation. And they are all called Americans because in a metaphysical sense, that word America is composed of the same seven letters that also spell I Am race. It's a mystical connection.
I think it's just so fascinating that the word America is rearranging those letters spells I Am race. So it's an amazing, amazing metaphysical understanding. So, Alberta, tell me, do you think, based on what you're talking about, of the founding fathers, you know, they really were dedicated to Jesus Christ? And why so many people feel that America was founded on Christian principles? and or even as a Christian nation, although, of course, that was not the intent to have a state religion, because that's exactly what the founders were trying to get away from. But, you know, basically, they were dedicated to the Christian principles.
Yes, I do believe that, Nancy. Many of the settlers came to this country to escape religious persecution and to forge a new way of spiritual liberty, one where men could choose according to their own conscience. So even though many of these founders supported the concept of Christianity and God's ways for presiding over men, they also embraced tolerance through freedom to choose. Men could choose according to their own conscience, and that meant that they might choose not to believe in God or to not participate in any religion, Christian or otherwise. This is such a key principle, really, as individuals and peoples evolve spiritually. Today, Christians, Catholics, Buddhists, or Islamists, they now include spiritual beliefs that were not known to their original orthodoxy, such as reincarnation, the balancing of karma, the I Am Presence, or communion with angels and saints. Thomas Jefferson once referred to what he called the great and interesting question, where the freedom of religion is compatible with order in government and obedience to the laws. And he determined that the constitutional freedom of religion is the most inalienable and sacred of all human rights. The Declaration of Independence was our declaration, meaning America's Declaration of Independence from the British Empire. It was our Charter of Rights, and yet it was really an establishment of the rights of all mankind. So St. Germain does teach that Americans are called upon to champion every man's right to joint heirship with Jesus Christ of the presence of the great I Am. So from then to now, we're still striving toward that principle and to stand for it around the earth. Our founders, taking them at their own written word, accepted that these rights were God-given, that there was a certain divine providence presiding over the affairs of men. And that's how many of them referred to the deity as divine providence. These were essential liberties, liberties that would set the blueprint for a nation where individuals could be free men, independent, self-responsible, and self-accountable. And they could have a government that would truly be one of God over men, meaning we place the divinity, our God, over the management and governing of the interactions of men. It was a way of life where we could be accountable to forge and become our personal, individualized version of a Son of God, a Christ, walking the earth today. And this was patterned after the life of Jesus the Christ. And so as we go on, we'll see that that role that we had a right to choose became a certain responsibility for America to be almost as a Christ nation or model of spiritual liberty to other nations, even though no one was required to be a Christian.
Yes, and today we seem to be constantly arguing about taking God out of every part of our lives instead of how can we live in accordance with certain norms of civil behavior, morality, and what some would call those laws of God. And there are some today who argue that our founders were not men of faith at all. But there was so much communication at that time via letters and other written works that we fortunately still have with us that reveal what their thinking and intentions really were.
Absolutely, Carl. We have so much written evidence to the contrary that this claim that our founders as a group were not men of faith, that it lacks credibility for me. Those who were leaders in the founding of the United States of America were so prolific in their letter writing to one another, in their published works, and in their speaking, even though it is sometimes difficult for me to imagine how they had time to write so much. They had to earn their livings on farms, in shops, as clergymen, raise their families, educate them, mostly themselves, and still pay attention to this inner drive for freedom, freedom of the individual from religious persecution, freedom of the individual from the oppressive monarchy, and individual freedom of spirit to choose how they would govern and be governed. According to their own written words, their lives were filled with their study and acknowledgement of spiritual matters, and they wove it into their daily lives, both public and private. and they preserved it in writing for us. Perhaps I could share a couple of their stories with you.
Sure. Go ahead. Please do.
Well, one founder and patriot was John Jay. He was president of the Continental Congress during the Revolution and was one of the three founding fathers who drafted and signed the peace treaty with Great Britain to establish America as an independent nation. After the U.S. Constitution was written, Jay helped write the Federalist Papers and is considered one of the three men most responsible for the adoption of the Constitution. When George Washington became the first president, Jay served as his Secretary of State and then was appointed as the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So these were the guys who were right there at the very beginning of establishing this model for governance. Chief Justice John Jay believed that Christian principles should be included in civil arenas. So he said and wrote rather forcefully, and I'm quoting here now, that Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. A very strong statement. President George Washington also encouraged the inclusion of religious principles throughout the public's business. In his famous farewell address, when he announced that he would retire from public office at the end of his second term, he offered some pretty candid advice on what it would take to keep America strong. And, of course, we know that some wanted Washington to remain in office and become king. But he refused in favor of the republic that the founders had struggled to agree upon. So for generations afterwards, Washington's farewell address was considered so important and its content so profound that it was published as a separate standalone school textbook. Students were taught that this address was the most significant political speech ever delivered to the nation, and they were tested on it, tested on the content. Regrettably, Washington's farewell address has now largely disappeared from current textbooks, apparently because it has too much religious content for today's trending secular outlooks.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Can you just give us a brief summary of what Washington said in his farewell address?
Yes. Washington specifically identified two things, and they were religion and morality, as the two most important elements of the American political system, and even warned that anyone who attempted to separate those two elements from the political system could not be considered an American patriot.
Strong words.
Yeah, I think that if America's system of government was deliberately and intentionally built upon religion and morality by these founders, then it's important to note how successful it has been, even though America is by no means perfect. The fact is, America is now the world's longest ongoing constitutional republic, and to exist more than two centuries under the same governing document is an accomplishment unknown among contemporary nations. For instance, during the same time that America has had just one government, France has had 15. And in just the 20th century alone, Russia has had 4, Afghanistan 5, and in Poland 7.
Well, you know, and as you mentioned that, I think we could also point out that America is unique in that it's the only nation today on earth that's a compilation of people from many different nations. Their nationalities and races from cultures all over the world, here in one nation, which is not part of any other country. And, of course, that's why it's been called the melting pot. And all who come to America have the same freedoms to choose how they'll live their lives and how much they progress on a spiritual path, or not at all.
Exactly, Nancy. The founders confirmed many times that it was God's word that also provided that basis for what are termed inalienable rights, meaning the rights bestowed by God on every individual regardless of race, gender, or social station. Among man's inalienable rights were those of life, liberty, property, religious freedom, self-protection, due process, sanctity of the home, as well as others that are listed throughout the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Now, this is an interesting thing because the founders didn't agree on everything. They did not agree on the issue of slavery, despite this definition of inalienable rights. So from the very beginning, they began to compromise. There never would have been a United States of America without that Declaration of Independence. And that declaration would not have been agreed upon unless the Southern representatives had some assurance that slavery would not be prohibited. So the net result is that 100 years later, we had to fight a bloody civil war with brother against brother to decide that issue.
Yes, you know, that's always been amazing to me, that anyone in a nation being founded on freedom could justify slavery over other fellow human beings. Now, in
right.
a couple minutes, we will go to break, Alberta, but let's continue.
Okay. Well, our founding documents directly acknowledge two things. The first one is that God gave these rights to men, not other men. And the second was that it is the purpose of government to protect these rights. They thought this was so important to the maintaining of a republic form of government because many of them also believe that to not do so would invite God's anger upon him, his wrath. In fact, John Adams said, "The duration of future punishment terrifies me." He said, "A statesman realizes that he will stand before God and account to him for what he does in private as well as in public. This awareness of imminent accountability to God serves as a restraint on personal misbehavior. If there is no self-imposed restraint on a public official's private actions, stemming from a sense of his accountability to God, then that public official is a danger to good government because of the compromises he invariably will make. Today, we might say that this is a belief in the cause and effect principle that we call returning karma." And Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." So he's saying that if we violate God's laws, then God can't be on our side in defense of that behavior, and there would be consequences. This quote is actually carved inside of the Jefferson Memorial. There are five carved quotes inside the memorial, and four of them speak of God's involvement. It appears that they believed our gifts of freedom to choose, our free will, truly are God-given, and they believed in a God that will not be mocked.
It's time to go to break, and when we return, we'll continue with Alberta Frederickson on Is America a Divinely Sponsored Nation?
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Conflict. Have you been hurt by being in conflict? Do you avoid it at all costs? Are you tired of feeling agitated or in turmoil? Alberta Frederickson, Life and Conflict Coach, offers help for overcoming conflict in her new book titled Transforming Everyday Conflict. You'll learn the cause of conflicts and how to shift your beliefs to see new opportunities. Alberta provides tools, tips, and roadmaps on what to say or do with sample language. She leads you step by step through handling conflict that gives you confidence to engage in problem solving and move beyond disagreements. Instead of damaged relationships, build stronger connections using better communication. Don't wait. Get your copy of Transforming Everyday Conflict by Alberta Frederickson at www.amazon.com in paperback and Kindle versions. That's Transforming Everyday Conflict by Alberta Frederickson at amazon.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Are you ready to experience deep meditation, the power of the spoken word through mantras, affirmations, and decrees, and share the joy of being in community with like-minded spiritual seekers? Then join us July 20th through the 26th in Garderen, Holland, for the 10th Annual Spiritual Awareness Fellowship European Conference. Our conference theme is Hearts United in Divine Purpose, Freedom, and Victory for All. Learn with Carl and Nancy Showalter and other speakers the profound teachings of the Ascended Masters that can transform your life. You can find a brochure with a full schedule of events and registration details on our website at www.spiritualawarenessfellowship.org. That's www.spiritualawarenessfellowship.org for the brochure. And email hollandconf@gmail.com for a registration form. That's hollandconf@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Prophets for the New Age. I'm Nancy.
And I'm Carl Showalter.
And you're listening to a Dream Vision 7 live broadcast here at WMEX Boston. And our guest today is Alberta Fredrickson, and we have been talking about, is America a divinely sponsored nation? You know, we ended with the statements from Thomas Jefferson and some of those principles. So, you know, the founding of a republic on these principles has been called a grand experiment in freedom. And, you know, when I was studying a political history course, and I traced the forms of government in Europe until the founding of the United States, I was really impressed with this fact. There had never been a government like this before, and allowed so much freedom for the individual that it was uncertain that it could even work.
That's right. There was no guarantee, and there still is no guarantee. This grand experiment in freedom was challenged from the moment it was decided. Following the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin, when asked by a citizen what they had given us, said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And this was a fair warning. A republic is a much more difficult form of government to maintain than a democracy, because a republic requires a more educated effort from the voters. And of course, back then, women did not have the vote, only free men did. Even though a lot of things have changed in the last 239 years, they understood then that they not only needed to understand their form of government, a constitutional republic, but they must also investigate the beliefs of candidates before placing them into office. And John Adams explained this. He says that we electors have an important constitutional power placed in our hands. We have a check upon two branches of the legislature. It becomes necessary to every citizen then to be in some degree a statesman, and to examine and judge for himself the political principles and measures. Let us examine them with a sober Christian spirit, he said. He thought it was the presence of private, moral, and religious beliefs that produced trustworthy public officials and provided security for government and its citizens. He even wrote in his diary in 1772 that the struggle that happens between virtue and ambition demonstrates that if virtue is lacking, then a public official will apply himself to passions, prejudices, follies, and vices of great men in order to obtain their smiles, esteem, patronage, and consequently their favors and preferment. It kind of describes pork barrel compromises and diplomacy today, doesn't it? And Abigail Adams, wife of John and mother of John Quincy Adams, once wrote, "A true patriot must be a religious man. He who neglects his duty to his Maker may well be expected to be deficient and insincere in his duty towards the public." And John Witherspoon, a very prominent and hardworking founder, said, "Don't expect public faithfulness from one who is privately unfaithful, or public frugality from one who is privately extravagant. Always investigate a candidate's private religious and moral beliefs and behavior."
Yes, we know that our educational system has a lot to do with preparing leaders and citizenry for the future. Alberta, what were some of the key things being taught in the early days of America? Was there an effort to maintain what the founders thought was so important?
Yes, I believe so. Education was very important. However, not everyone was going to school in those days. Now, of course, we have compulsory public education where people are required to be at school during certain ages. So education has changed a lot. Then people learned from several sources, primarily including the scriptures, the great classics of literature, Shakespeare, school books for some, personal experience, common sense, and the founding fathers.
Well, you know, we know the Ascended Masters have taught about this spiritual founding of America, but I think there are others. Are there others who seem to confirm this spiritual sponsorship or this great responsibility that America carries?
Yes, there are. One of the most interesting ones to me is Dr. Peter Marshall. He was an immigrant to America from Scotland in 1927, and he definitely echoes the words of our founders, and he did it right in the midst of our federal seat of government. He only lived 46 brief years. However, he preached in the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., and actually became the chaplain of the United States Senate. So you can imagine, in such a short lifetime and coming as an immigrant, how much he accomplished and how profound his word was to people that he could achieve those things in such a short time. One of his wartime sermons was titled Our Covenant Nation. I'd like to read just a little of what he said. "Ours is a covenant nation, the only surviving nation on earth, I believe, that had its origins in the determination of the Pilgrim Fathers to establish on this continent a settlement to the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, today, that would be condemned as politically incorrect to imply that America should be a place for advancing the Christian faith when it was declared to be a place for the practice of freedom of religion. But we now know that the founders were following that model of Jesus Christ." Peter Marshall said, "A covenant nation is one that recognizes its dependence upon God and its responsibility towards God. This nation was so born. God was recognized as the source of human rights. The Declaration of Independence says so. A covenant nation is one which recognizes God and his purposes stand about the nation and the nation's interests, and that the highest role a nation can play is to reflect God's consciousness in national policy. Ours, therefore, is a covenant nation, covenant in God from the beginning. This country was founded in religious faith. It had different expressions, to be sure, Quakers, Puritans, Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Methodists and Baptists, Lutherans, and Catholics of French, Spanish, and Irish stock. All contributed to the molding of that faith and its free expression in this land, where men were at liberty to worship God according to the dictates of their consciences. These all believed in the equality of the individual before God, and that every soul was equally precious in God's sight. They founded schools that were rooted in religion. Harvard and Yale were founded by Congregationalists. The universities of Columbia and Pennsylvania by Episcopalians. Princeton by Presbyterians. Duke and Northwestern by Methodists. The University of Chicago by Baptists. Fordham and Notre Dame by Roman Catholics.
And that was all Peter Marshall's quote, right, that you just...
All his quote. And so it was really interesting to me to see that these universities were actually founded by these denominations.
Yes.
And now, you know...
Look at where they are today. It's quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we may consider that some of them still teach some aspect of this spiritual founding of America, and on the other hand, some are maybe teaching the exact opposites of those things, given this day and this age.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Peter Marshall also quotes President George Washington in his first inaugural address. Washington stated, "And was it not so because in the beginning this nation was established for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith under just and equal laws and with the right to worship God according to the dictates of conscience in religious liberty, that all should have an equal chance to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to provide a model for the world and to lead men into a better life." So here is the first president in the first inaugural address declaring America as a model to the world, this grand experiment in freedom. So they knew what they were trying to establish. Washington also said, "Apart from faith in God, the history of America has no meaning."
That's a really strong statement.
Yes, it is. Marshall also quotes Dr. McKay of Princeton Seminary, who wrote, "The greatest spiritual task confronting us is the need to interpret for our time the meaning of the motto inscribed on each metal coin, 'In God We Trust,' and to apply that interpretation to our national and international policy." So we can see that these are keys to God government, to good government.
Pretty obvious. It really is, as you continue with this, it's so obvious the intent of our founding fathers.
Yes. And Dr. Peter Marshall's son, who was also named Peter Marshall, and his co-author David Manuel, wrote an extensive book called The Light and the Glory about America's spiritual beginnings and God's plan for America. They asked the question, and I'm quoting here, "Did God have a plan for America? Many have discovered the reality of the living Christ and pursued the belief that God has a plan for each individual's life, a plan that could, with spiritual effort, be discerned and followed. What if he dealt with whole nations the same way? The Bible said he did." Now, that's the author's conclusions. And they go on from there to share some research on Christopher Columbus. They asked, what if Columbus's discovery had not been accidental at all? What if it was merely the opening curtain of an extraordinary drama? Haven't the first settlers described themselves as having been called by God to found a new nation based on the centrality of the Christian faith and God's word? So these
authors... we're getting ready, Alberta, for another break.
Okay.
So this is so fascinating. This topic is just amazing to hear from our founding fathers and also others who shared their perspective. So when we get back, and it'll be more with our author Alberta Fredrickson, "Is America a Divinely Sponsored Nation?"
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Dream of waking up full of energy and excited about your day? What about having enough money to put the kids through college or take a vacation? Whatever your dreams are, you can manifest them. Nancy Showalter's been sharing the secrets of success and abundance for over 30 years now and has discovered five key steps to manifesting the life you desire, including one super critical step often overlooked. This critical step is so powerful, she and her husband used it to sell their house in less than a week for their full asking price, even with five other houses for sale on their street for over a year. Learn how Nancy did this and how you can too in her free webinar, Dream and Grow Rich. Discover the simple path to creating your prosperous life. Go to dreamgrowrich.nancyshowalter.com for access to her free webinar. That's dreamgrowrich.nancyshowalter.com.
Conflict. Have you been hurt by being in conflict? Do you avoid it at all costs? Are you tired of feeling agitated or in turmoil? Alberta Fredrickson, life and conflict coach, offers help for overcoming conflict in her new book titled Transforming Everyday Conflict. You'll learn the cause of conflicts and how to shift your beliefs to see new opportunities. Alberta provides tools, tips, and roadmaps on what to say or do with sample language. She leads you step by step through handling conflict that gives you confidence to engage in problem solving and move beyond disagreements. Instead of damaged relationships, build stronger connections using better communications. Don't wait. Get your copy of Transforming Everyday Conflict by Alberta Fredrickson at www.amazon.com in paperback and Kindle versions. That's Transforming Everyday Conflict by Alberta Fredrickson at amazon.com.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back to Prophets for the New Age. I'm Nancy.
And I'm Carl Showalter.
And you're listening to a Dream Vision 7 live broadcast here at WMEX Boston. And we are here today with Alberta Fredrickson, author and researcher, and we're talking about, is America a divinely sponsored nation? Now, Alberta, you were ending with some discussion of Dr. Peter Marshall, who was the minister for the for the Senate. So, why don't you just continue with that and bring us, you know, back to a little summary there of what you were talking about and continue.
Okay. Well, it was Peter Marshall's son, Peter Marshall, and his co-author, David Manuel, who had written this book. And one of the things that they documented in their book that I found so interesting was what Christopher Columbus himself wrote about how he came to the Americas. Columbus wrote, "It was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior if it is just and if the intention is purely for his holy service. The working out of all things has been assigned to each person by our Lord, but it all happens according to his sovereign will, even though he gives advice. Oh, what a gracious Lord, who desires that people should perform for him those things for which he holds himself responsible. Day and night, moment by moment, everyone should express their most devoted gratitude to him. So that's what Christopher Columbus wrote, and I was so excited to read that.
And that is amazing. He says he did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps in those days. But he really was, you know, divinely inspired. And, you know, people say a lot of things about Christopher Columbus these days, but we know from the Ascended Master's teachings that it was the Ascended Master Saint Germain who was previously embodied as Christopher Columbus.
Yes.
And that every individual soul's dharma or their ultimate mission develops over many embodiments that he or she has lived. So it's interesting to see that even in that lifetime, Columbus felt he had been given his life's mission directly by God, and that he felt called to bear the light of the Christ, in that case Jesus Christ, to undiscovered lands in fulfillment of prophetic passages in the Bible, and that he knew he'd been guided by the Holy Spirit the whole way. And, of course, we know Saint Germain is the sponsor of the incoming Age of Aquarius, which is meant to be a golden age.
Yes. So he is our prophet for the new age. And the new age is the result of a revolution of higher consciousness and spiritual evolution, where a greater percentage of men and women can begin to walk and talk with the angels, the masters, and cosmic beings. Other than America, where else on the planet have the people been free enough, abundant enough, and blessed enough to pursue the teachings of the God reality within themselves as a part of their daily lives, and to have been given a system of governance that didn't just allow it, but actually protected this freedom? So the sponsored masters have sponsored this nation, I believe, and our responsibility to this sponsorship is great, for to whom much is given, much more is expected. We have been entrusted with certain freedoms and choices, and faithfulness requires that we manage those choices wisely and unselfishly. The people of Earth have looked to America not only to understand freedom and to be a destination place to come for freedom, but also to defend freedom worldwide. This is a land of a free people, but it's not just for ourselves. We are a people who are the guardians of freedom to the Earth. And America has expended her blood and her treasure over and over again, not just to defend the principles of freedom and liberty at home, but to defend those people who were defenseless in their own nations under the tyrants who ruled them. Now, this hasn't always been done perfectly, and America has not always been governed by men and women of honor. And the people of America have not remained alert to their obligation to truly examine who they put into office. Sometimes the systems who enslave these other peoples have been aided and helped financially and materialistically by the resources of the people of America to build better infrastructure and to arm and train these others, resulting in possibly further oppression of what would be called the little people. But what if the real goal for America was and could be to spiritually arm and train them, not just telling them, but demonstrating the truth of each soul being able to develop their own individualized portion of the Christ, of the I Am Presence, and to be a true son or daughter of God in action now on the earth, in a way to be the heart, head, and hands of God in the situations of our personal and national lives. So America needs spiritual armament, not just physical armament. And right now, America is on a cross of initiation as a nation. We have both personal and national sins or mistakes that we must be accountable for. At a personal level, we know we can repent, be redeemed, and ultimately be restored. Nationally, we as individuals can also be like a single cell in a movement to do the same. Wherever we are, God is also. So God through us is the answer to every dilemma that we encounter. So this could be the meaning of America as the Christ model to the nations. America has been a great blessing to those born here and for those who have sought to immigrate here. but it is a very big responsibility, and the eyes of the world are on us.
Well, you know, Alberta, we know that you wrote a book with more information about America and the I Am race. We're getting ready to end here. We thank you so much for being here. Your book contains a rosary to Mother Mary. So can you just tell quickly our listeners where they can get that book very quickly?
Yes. It's called The America Rosary to Unite the I Am Race, and it's only available at my website, which is www.heartpeacenow.com. And I do want to
thank
you very much, Carl and Nancy, for the opportunity to be with you and your listeners, and I'm very, very grateful.
And we thank you so much, and thank everybody for listening today. We'll be back next month on Sunday, July 19th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stay tuned for our final blessing and meditation.
Over you and keep you safe from harm.